the Lord shared with me this week, and then I want to release us to do some ministry. And I know that I'm very aware that that some of you are quite uncomfortable with one-on-one ministries. But you're going to be that way until you get used to ministering to people. When you get used to ministering to people, that doesn't bother you. You look forward to the time where you get to bless somebody's life and be used of the Lord to touch them. So we want to do that, and that's the way we're activating right now. That's what the Lord has us to doing. So we're going to make sure we have time for this, and we're going to make sure we have time just to allow the gifts of the Spirit to move. But I want to share with you, and I'm hoping before very long, that if you're noticing, the things that I'm sharing about are shorter and shorter, and we're getting through quicker, and I'm doing that intentionally because I really am wanting to get away from a aspect of a preaching center. And I want to be a place where we literally come and we go and we storm the gates of hell. We're a penetrating center. We learn to go and penetrate our society. We go out with salt and light. We come to get equipped. We come to get edified. We come to provoke one another to love and good works. And we go out of here to love and to minister to people. Amen? And that's what I'm really moving towards. And so bear with us, and it will become easier and easier and easier. In fact, I think it was Duran that I was talking to the other day, it may have been yesterday, and he was talking about how it's becoming easier for him. It was you, wasn't it, Duran? And he was talking about how it's becoming very much easier. And I was telling him, you know, I'm really trying to get him to the place where he and Valerie have a lot to give. They have a lot to give to people. Their home's in order, and they love Jesus, and they have a lot to give. And so they're coming to the place where they can minister to people. And so many of our people are that way. You're in order. You got things looking good in your home, and you just really need to be thrown out into society and be able to minister to people and forget your fears and your frustrations and go ahead and do it. That's what it's all about. I want you to turn in your scriptures to Matthew chapter 7. And what I'd really like to do, Dr. Grimm, you don't have to do it if you don't want to. One thing I'd like to do today is I know that when Scott and Kathy were here, that you mentioned that you would come up and shut your eyes and do that. Will you do that after a while? Maybe? Sure. And I don't want that to get out to the city a whole lot. You know, that, hey, man, that's what they're doing now. They're teaching people to prophesy. That's really what we're doing. But you know, that it can be projected in a wrong way. There are all kinds of stories out there about us anyway. I guess the neatest one is the one that they say where we go through this service, after you've had a baby, we make you a virgin again. You know, that's one of the neatest ones that I've... You know, we dedicate your child, and somehow that's got turned around to where... Anyway, there's all sorts of stories that are out about us. I think Grace has learned that most of them aren't true. Most of them. But anyhow, I like that kind of stuff. That means that they're talking about you. That means that you're not just an irrelevant place, at least that they're talking about you, and that's not altogether bad. What I want to minister to us this morning, what I want to share with you, what I felt the Holy Ghost speak to me this week, which actually came from... We're going to move that speaker, by the way, and Lance says that'll stop this. We were at Reading Circle last Saturday, and as I would go up to people, and I'm sure, and you tell me if this happened to you as well, but as I would go up to people and I would begin to share with them and talk with them, and I would ask them, do you know Jesus, or something to that effect. I would, might not be quite that blunt, according on the conversation and what was happening. And I didn't meet a single person that was not saved. I did not meet a single person that was planning on going to hell. Everybody that I met was saved. Everybody that I met would say, in reply to my question, do you know Jesus? They would say, yeah, I go to church over here. Or, yeah, I was water baptized when I was a teenager. Or, yeah, and they would give me... I didn't meet a single person that was not saved. Did anybody meet a person that was not saved? I'm looking diligently, and I don't see a hand. Now, with further inquiry into the lives of the folks, I would find out that their lives were an absolute wreck. Marriage was on the rocks. Their children were in rebellion. Their finances were a mess. They were without a job. There was no abundance in their life. They actually had not been to church in months and months, but yet they were saved. Now, what they were telling to me is that, yeah, I go to this church, or yeah, I prayed the Roman Road Prayer, and yeah, I was water baptized when, therefore, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I am going to spend eternity with Jesus Christ when I die. I don't have to do anything else. That's it. And somehow, that is the line they have been fed, and they believe it. Nobody's lost. Everybody's saved. And so, as I began to meditate on that and to begin to pray about that, I was asking the Lord, what do we do about this? You know, I know this isn't true, but what do we do? How do we address this thing? And so I want to share with you what his response was to me. In Matthew chapter 7, I want to read verses 21, 22, and 23. And if you've gone to church here, you know that this is a familiar passage. In fact, we did a whole series on it. Beginning at verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, or you workers of iniquity, King James says. Now, I believe that Jesus was addressing this very same question that I am here projecting to you. And I believe that he was talking to a whole nation of people that believed because they were Abraham's seed that they would spend eternity with their God. And I believe that he's saying to them in the very same context that I'm saying to you, this is not true. That on this day, that day, what day would that be? The last day, judgment day, that many would say, Lord, Lord. And he'll say back to them, I don't know you. I believe that we are in a time, we are living in a city, we are living in an area of people who believe that because they went down the Roman road, because they prayed a sinner's prayer, because they were baptized when they were a teenager, that when they decease, they will spend eternity with Jesus Christ. But according to the Bible that is in your lap, or the one that you hopefully you're looking on with somebody, according to the Word of God and the words of Jesus Christ, listen to me now, what does it say? What does it say? I ask you again now, what is the key? Doing the will of the Father which is in heaven. Is that what your Bible says? Now listen to me, this is vitally, vitally, vitally important. Because when we minister to people, we have got to be able to understand. And Jesus, in this context, is telling us how we can know. He says, you will know them by their fruit. Are they doing the will of the Father? Because they go over to this certain church, or because they were water baptized when they were 9 years old, or because they prayed a prayer with a preacher and signed a membership card to a building, does that mean that they are going to spend eternity in heaven? What does make the difference? Doing the will of the Father. So what we have got to learn to do and to incorporate when we're witnessing to people and when we're talking to them about Jesus Christ, and they give us that thought, they give us that statement, yes, I know Jesus, yes, I go to this church, yes, yes, all these things, we have got to incorporate into the question that we're projecting to them, are you doing the will of the Father? What are you born to do? What are you on this earth doing? Are you just breathing air, biding time, or are you fulfilling the will of the Father for your life? And if we know enough Scripture and we know enough to understand to project this to people, I believe we'll get some raised eyebrows. I believe we'll project something into their heart and their spirit that they'll have to look at their lives and have to look at themselves. Do you believe that? Everybody's saved! Ask them. Ask anybody, you know, are you planning on going to hell? And what will they say? But what does Jesus say? How many's going? How many's going to say? Many. Now listen, this is a very, this is judgment stuff, man. This is something we've got to understand. The Roman road prayer is a wonderful way to start. Water baptism is necessary. I believe in that. You know that. But the key is doing the will of the Father. Do you see that? Do you agree with that?
How many
of you have talked to somebody in your time of witnessing, and they have, you've asked them basically that thought, do you know Jesus? And they said, yeah, but you knew they were not fulfilling the will of the Father for their life. How many of you are with me on this? That's most of us. That's most of us. So carry that thought one more step. Carry that thought to another dimension. Not have you prayed a prayer. Not are you water baptized. Not did you sign a membership card. Not did you shake a preacher's hand. Are you doing the will of the Father? So vital. Now, which I'll spring off of this into the next thought. I believe that the purpose of the church is to go out as salt and light into the earth, penetrating it, for the purpose of bringing people into their purpose and the will of the Father. I believe that my purpose in life and that our purpose in life, one of them at least, is to go out as witnesses, bringing people into their purpose. Finding out what it is that God created for them to do and helping them come into God's will for their life. Does that make sense to you? I believe that leaders in the church, leaders, period, their purpose in life is to be the best servant, the best people, to help people understand what their purpose in life is. I think one of the primary roles that I have is to help you figure out what it is that God would have you to do. Find out what God's put into your heart, hooking it up with the vision of this household, finding out where it fits, and helping you to accomplish it. That is part of the equipping. You with me? Doesn't mean I've got to prepare you to preach or prepare you to prophesy. He even says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, do all prophesy? Do all speak in tongues? But you are to do something. You are a member of the body. The body members does something. And so my part and the leadership part and the leaders of any assembly and what we should be training you to do is to come to the place where you can find your place and then help others to find their place. Springing off of that, let me make sure we got this apart, this point across. How many believe that most of the people that you go and you talk to at Reading Circle or on your job or any place else, when you ask them, are they saved, they're going to say yes? How many believe that? What now will be the next step that you're understanding? Jesus faced with this very same dilemma. What does he say? Are you doing the will of the Father? And it is works. And that's where we're heading. So, springing off of that thought into this thought that I want to go now to rapidly, I want to just look at another scripture. Wow, this is... You go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians 14. I want to ask us some questions. Last Sunday, we preached about a relevant church, a church that is relevant. And the definition of relevant is something on the edge. It's something on the cutting edge. Something that is pertinent to the time, pertinent to the need. Are we a relevant church? Was the question. And then finally, am I a relevant member in the church? Springing off of that thought, I want to ask us a question today. And it's to do with our meetings here, with our corporate gatherings, our meetings, our coming together. And the question is basically this, concerning our services, what are we doing in our services and why are we doing it? Are we, and have we been for the past 7 years, have we been a preaching center? It's okay, be honest. Yeah, we really have. We have not been an equipping center. We have had, the first several years that I was in the full-time ministry when I was in Lafayette, I preached 156 messages a year, at least that many. 156 life-changing messages a year. And nobody's lives really was equipped. And then we began to cut back a couple of years ago to 104 life-changing messages. And nobody's life was equipped. What I'm wanting to project to us is that we have got to radically look at what we're doing and why we're doing it. What do we expect to happen to us when we come to church? Do you come for me to entertain you, to reveal some nugget of truth to you so that the next time somebody says it to you, you can say, oh, I've already heard that? Are we growing grass here so that people in other churches that are already in the kingdom of heaven will say, I like that grass better. I'm going to go over there and eat some of that grass. What are we doing? And why are we doing it? And these are questions that I really want to get a handle on. And I'm asking it to myself. I'm asking it to you. What are we doing? And why are we doing it? Are our meetings relevant? Is what we do, is it on the cutting edge? Is it on the edge of what God wants to do in this area, in this city, in our time, in our life? What might have worked a year ago might not work today. What's working today might not work next week. Is it relevant? Is it right there today? Is it for today? Is it for right now? Now, I believe there was a time when the church came through a time of teaching where the people would come and God really anointed specific teachers to teach the Word of God and to just get the Word of God. But I found that from that and the people that I have taught over the years, I found out that I filled them up with knowledge, but I haven't filled them up with abilities. And now they can go to about any place they want to go and they can hear a Word of God and they can basically say, I've already heard that. But I haven't equipped the people to minister. To go out as a relevant people, going out into a society and penetrating it as salt and light, going into darkness and savoring it and making it taste good and bringing people into the kingdom of heaven. We have been a preaching center. Are our meetings good enough to attract the lost? Or those who think they're saved? Are our meetings attracting the lost? Look around. What are we doing and why are we doing it? Why are we having our meetings the way we're having them? Does it have to be this way? Is there a better way of doing it? Several weeks ago, it was before Robert Gay came, I was disgusted and discouraged. And I told Judy, I said, honey, I don't know what it is. I don't know how, but I know there's a better way of doing what we're doing. There's a better way to fulfill God's will. I don't know what it is, but I know there's a different way. So my prayer has been to the Lord, Lord, show us, just show me, just reveal it to us how to do it. Are our meetings good enough to make sure that everyone in the church, members, get blessed and get activated? Do we come just for preaching? Or do we come to get ministered to if we're having problems in our lives? Do we come so that somebody will bless us and minister to us and then get activated so that when we leave here, we'll go out of here with more than we came in, going out to penetrate society? What are we doing and why are we doing it? And I think these are relevant questions to a church that will be relevant. And if we're afraid to ask ourselves these questions, if we're afraid to get an answer, if we're afraid, then we're not going to be relevant. We're going to go back to business as usual. We'll exist. We'll come in, clap our hands, sing a couple of songs, and go home again, nothing changing and remaining a preaching center. What are we doing? Why are we doing it? Are we equipping saints? Are we activating people? Are we ministering to people when they come here? Do you leave out of here with the same need that you came with? Do you receive prayer? Do you receive deliverance? Do you receive what you're needing in your life? Do you receive it? And then are you equipped to go back to your mission field, where your place of work, your home, wherever God has you stationed at this point in time in your life? Are you going back there as salt and light, activated to minister in there? What are we doing? Is what we are doing in our meetings causing us to penetrate our society with light and salt? Now, those are just some questions that I want to project to us. And what I want to do tonight, now listen to me, it's very important that you're here tonight. What I want to do tonight is I want to answer these questions. We can't take time now. But I want to spend tonight talking about these questions. And it's important, it's relevant that you're here, because we have got to know what to do to be a relevant church. We're going to talk about this. We're going to spend time. We're going to discuss this. What does a relevant church do? What are we doing? Why are we doing it? Is the way we're doing it the way it should be done? Is there a better way of doing it? What can we do? I just don't want to be just a little country church in the middle of town. Doot and doot and doot doot doot. We want to be relevant. Look with me, if you will, and I'm just about done, but 1 Corinthians 14:26. Is that where you're at? 1 Corinthians 14:26. This particular passage, Paul is telling them what to do. Now, he's been discussing, you know, in most churches you could rip out 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14. At least chapter 13, because it's about love. Everybody wants to be loved and loved. All the churches do. But nobody wants to manifest in the gifts and do what a church is supposed to do. Nobody wants to be activated in the gifts and understand that the purpose of the body is to manifest the gifts of the Holy Ghost and go out and minister to people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul is talking about how these gifts manifest in a church meeting. He's talking about tongues. He's talking about prophecy in particular. And then he comes here. In look at verse 14 and 15 up there, and you'll see where he's talking about singing in the Spirit, which is tongues, and praying in your understanding also, and praying in the Spirit, and praying and singing in your understanding also, and blessing with the Spirit, and all the, that's what he's really, his whole thing is what we're coming to church for to do. And then in verse 26, what is it then, brethren? How is the church service supposed to be? Well, basically what he's saying here is let's make it up as we go. Some of you are going to come in with a song. Deborah had a song. Somebody's going to come in with a tongue. Somebody will have the interpretation. Somebody will have a revelation. Let the gifts function, making it up as you go. But whatever you do, edify one another. Is that what your Bible says? In verse 26 there. Build one another up. Equip one another as a mighty fortress so that when you go out of here, you're built up, ready to go out and penetrate society. That word edify there means to, as an edifice, is built up. That we're to come to church to edify one another. And that's what we're to do while we're here. And, you know, the formula, even though, and we've said this 100 times, you can still, though we don't hand out bulletins, we still operate basically by bulletin. You know what we're going to do first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and then we're going to try to get home by 12 o'clock. I want to get out of this. I want to make it up as we go. And I want people edified and blessed. And I don't want to see you sitting there, just sitting there. I want to see you being equipped and edified to go out of here and penetrate society. When you're hurting, let somebody know you're hurting so that you can get ministered to. When you need some help and that's what we're here for. Let us pray for you and bless you. If you got a demon, let us deliver you. If you need help someplace, let us help you. Let's make it up as we go. But let's have church. Whatever we're going to do, let's at least have church. Then when we go out of here, Hebrews chapter 10. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. This is kind of what I want to look at in 1 Corinthians 14 is what we do while we're here. In Hebrews chapter 10, I want to see what we do when we go out of here. Why do we come together? You know, what is the deal? Hebrews 10:24. What he's saying in 1 Corinthians 14:26 is basically make it up as you go, but make sure that everybody's edified. Make sure everybody's blessed. Now here in Hebrews 10:24, let's read it. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now, what are we considering each other for? Why? To love and to good works. Everybody say works. Works! Who's that? Is that a Gilligan's Island? Who's that? That's for your time, honey. Huh? Who? Mayor G. Krebs. That's him. What? Didn't like to work. Well, see, we got this thinking in the church that you can't work for your salvation. No, you won't. You really can't because you're not saved by what you do. But from your salvation, you will work. You're saved unto good works. Same passage, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, says that you're not saved by works. But in verse 9 and 10 there, it says that you're saved unto good works. From your salvation, you want to do something. You'll find out your purpose for existence. It is my purpose and your purpose in life to help people find the will of God for their life, the will of the Father, and to bring them into it. And what he says is when we come together, we're to love each other, and then what I'm to do, Kevin, is I'm to love you to the dimension that I understand what God has created you for. I've spent time with you. You have revealed to me what God has put into your heart. Then I'm to provoke you and stimulate you. And that's what NASB Bible says, is stimulate. I'm to stimulate you unto good works, to do what God has put into your heart to do. And somewhere in all that, because we are planted together, your vision should hook up with my vision, and our vision should all hook up together, so that when we go out of here, we go out of here doing the good works. So why we come together is to be stimulated unto love and good works. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Don't forget to do this, he says. See, what he basically says in Hebrews 10, 24, right in 25, what he's saying is, don't forget to meet. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 26, he says, and when you meet, make it up as you go. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner is of some is, but exhorting one another. There's that word again. Exhorting, encouraging, building one another up. Exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So what we're to do is, when we come in, we're to love one another, we're to stimulate one another, we're to provoke one another, so that when we go out of here, we go out to work. And that work won't save you, unless you want to hook it back up with Matthew chapter 7, what we read about, except you fulfill the will of the Lord, you won't spend eternity with Jesus Christ. So you figure it out. I'd rather find out what he wants me to do and do it, huh? How about you? So don't forget to meet. That's what he's saying here. And when you meet, make it up as you go. And when you go out loved, and go out to do some good things. Go out to do what God has called you and purposed for you to do, what you were born and created to do. Make it up as you go. So, what the Lord has kind of spoke to me to minister about this morning is, number one, everybody you meet is going to say, I'm saved. The majority, the vast majority, you're going to meet very few people that have not been confronted with the gospel of Jesus Christ and have not some point in time in their life prayed a prayer, got water baptized, or go to church someplace. You're going to meet very, very few of those people. Not in the States. Now, you may go someplace else and it may be more evident, but in the States, what you're basically going to meet is people who believe they're saved. And so what I'm hearing the Lord speak to me is that when this happens, and it will, then ask them, are you doing the will of the Father? Which brings us into us doing the will of the Father, that when we come together, when we meet together, why are we doing what we're doing? Is what we're doing penetrating society? Is what we're doing attracting the lost? Is what we're doing edifying and equipping us to go out? Is what we're doing being done the very best way that it can be done? Is there a better way of doing it? And at least when we come together, let's have church. Are you with me? Do you agree with that? Well, clap your hands to the Lord and say, I agree with that. Amen. I want to be a relevant church, making a difference in this area. Raring up people to go out and plant other churches in other areas around. I really believe that that's our purpose and that's our destiny. And if we don't accomplish that, I really feel that we have failed. We have failed what God has called us to do. That is the will of the Lord for our life, for our body, for this place. Amen. Okay, we want to now spend just a little while just equipping ourselves to go out. I want to provoke you now to good works. Is that okay? Am I biblical? Yes, I am. That's what we're here to do. We've got to love one another and provoke one another into love and good works. To that degree, if you want to come up and just let me bring someone up. Your mic would be better, Lance. You going to get it? Now, what? Some of you that might not have been here, we're going to bring both of you up here, huh? You just have to stand there? Okay. Okay, you're a team. That's all right. That's cool. Pardon? Okay. When Scott and Kathy were here, one thing that they did was that they helped equip us. And they would have us come up, stand with our eyes closed, bring someone up to stand in front of us, and then we would try to hear from the Spirit, and then allow the Holy Spirit within us. How many of you have Christ in you? How many? Christ in you. Finish the verse. The hope of glory. You see, that's the thing that's going to bring us into glory is the Christ in us. So as we would activate that Christ in us, then He would minister through us with a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, a discernment of spirit, that He would manifest in some form of prophetic utterance, that it would come forth. And so that's what this is. And if you weren't here, then that's what we're doing. Now, what Dr. Grimm's going to do is he's going to shut his eyes, and he's not going to peek, are you? Not going to peek. And I'm going to bring somebody up that he doesn't know who I'm going to bring up, and I'm going to stand him back there where he can't see him and have no idea who it is, and he's going to search his spirit to see if the Lord will minister something to him. Amen? Are you ready? Yes. Let's pray for Dr. Grimm. Father, we just ask you now, Lord, to help Dr. Grimm. Father God, he is a willing vessel. Father, and I also believe he's a vessel of honor. Father, a chosen vessel. So, Father, I ask you in Jesus' name, Lord, right now, that you will activate within him, Lord, the gift of utterance, that, Father God, will come forth from him an ability to minister to people. Father God, and that your gifts and your talents, not for show, but, Lord, for activation. Not, Lord God, showcasing the things of God and the things of the Spirit, but, Lord God, activation and encouraging and provoking one another to love and to good works. So, Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, your eyes closed? Come real tight. Real tight. I'm working on it. Person's coming. Okay, the person is there. I'm holding the mic.
The spirit of joy standing before me. Someone that gets exuberant in worshiping the Lord. Either they have been, either they sing and have sung for the Lord, or God will use them to sing for them. And that they have ministered in music or song, where God's going to use them in the ministry in a stronger dimension. And they're not always going to be here, but they're going to go out and about. That God's called them for a purpose, for that to minister to other people. And there's such a joy. I just feel such a joy. And something about finances, that I just feel that God is either about to bless them or just has blessed them. Hallelujah. I think that's it.
Okay, Letty, have you gotten anything to eat? Okay, just for the fun of it, like Scott and Kathy did, do you have a sensation of it's a man or woman?
I believe it's a man.
I believe it's a man. Well, that's... He said he even got 50%, so that's good. Kelly, come here. Okay, how did that relate to you? How might that relate to you?
Well, I've really been praying that I'll be able to minister better to people, so that is, and as far as finances, thank you very much. Yes, Roger's mind finances could definitely be blessed.
You can receive that.
Yes, I see.
Okay, have you ever done any singing or anything like that?
No.
Is there a desire?
Only in the shower by myself.
Is there a desire there?
Oh, I've always wanted to be able to sing, but you can ask Roger. That's just not one of my things, but maybe.
Debbie sung
very well. That's right. Yeah, Debbie said she'd never sang before, and she did wonderful, so... Maybe there's hope for me yet.
And the thing of the joy, you know, that's what I pick up from you. I mean, you're always an edifier. You always bring a lot of joy. You know, I mean, I've seen you when you wasn't happy yourself, but yet and still you were always able to bring joy to people. So that was I know that was a right on, you know, mm-hmm. situation. And I think that's a ministry that you have. In fact, if I had to say that's who your ministry is that you always, I know Roger probably wouldn't agree with me, but you always bring joy. You know, to things, and it's, you know, it's a real, you're a blessing. So that's good. Amen. 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 There's something about the verse that I'm beginning to maybe get a little bit better understanding about. It's in Galatians, and it says that there's neither male nor female. And so when you're really trying to pick up on that aspect of a spiritual thing. You know, I don't really think that's the key of it's a man or a woman. I think that the key is what are you hearing of the Spirit of God? What are you hearing of the Spirit of the Lord? All right, would anybody else want to try this before we do something else? Anyone? I'm looking. A bunch of pretty cats. Anybody? Okay.
All right. What I want to do is I really don't want to just stand and turn. But what I want you to do is I want you to sit for just a few seconds. And I want you to pray. And I want you to ask the Lord to give you something to go and minister to somebody. Just get an impression. Just get and a lot of the things when I'm ministering, the Lord will, He'll come in a couple of ways. Sometimes it's just I hear Him speaking something. But a lot of times, too, the way the Lord ministers to me is I see something. He shows me something. It's a picture. It's a snapshot. It's some kind of little image that I see in my mind's eye that I'm asking for the Lord. And the Lord will give me something to go and to minister to somebody. The thing of the Scripture, the only thing you have to really remember about how it's to be done is it's to edify, it's to exhort, and it's to comfort. Is that right? That's what the Bible. When this is now, when you get alone in a counseling session and you see snakes on somebody, that's okay then. But here in the body, we're to equip one another, we're to edify one another, we're to send each other out and to do their purpose and to help them find the will of God for their life. How many of you will really appreciate somebody helping you to know that you are right in the dead track of the will of God for your life? After we read that verse this morning, wouldn't you really, really appreciate somebody helping you get into the very will of God for your life? How many would really like that now? You with me? Okay, so that's what it's to be. It's to edify, equip, and to exhort us, and it's to send us forth. That's what this kind of ministry is for. When we come together, we're making this up as we go, folks. Now, I don't know of another place that's tried this or that's doing this or that's wanting to step out into this dimension. I am wanting to have church. I hope you hear my heart. I am not wanting to be a preaching center. I'm not wanting just to grow grass so other people come hear me preach. We've done that. That's not all that much fun. Now, all you do is get criticized. I don't agree with that. I've heard that already. You know, that ain't what so-and-so believes. Well, I don't care. You know, it's not time to concentrate anymore on the preaching center. It's time to concentrate on being a church. Penetrating our society. Are you with me now? All right. Yes. Sure. Yes, come. Come. Yeah, we need to get on mic because we can. Good. All right. Well, the question is, and I'm repeating, I know most of you heard her, but the reason I'm repeating it is for the tape's sake. How many of you that are here came to salvation in a church service type thing, or you came to your initial coming into the Lord at home or at some place other than a quote-unquote church service? First of all, those that came to your initial salvation in a church service, would you raise your hand? What is the hope? Keep it up now. Let me get some kind of us. Is that a half of us? Or is that about what? What did you say? A little more than a half? Okay. Pardon? All right. How many of us came to your initial salvation at some other place than a quote-unquote church service? It's close to half, isn't it? Either way. That's interesting. That is an interesting thought. So what we're saying is that half of the people that we're going to help come into the kingdom of God are not going to be here. Is that what your point is? Yeah, that's a good point. It's very good. Half of the people that will come into finding their will of God in their life will happen outside of a quote-unquote church service. Amen. Amen. Okay, anything else that we're making this up as we go? Steve, you like this? You like this, don't you, Betty? That's one thing Steve Lila's always wanted me to do, is make it up as we go. Amen? All right, let's pray. Let's ask the Lord just to show us somebody, show us something, give us a thought from the throne. And let me tell you this, too. Probably when you go and you begin saying this to the person, whatever, you might get just a sentence or a half a sentence. But when you go and you begin, more will come. That's usually the way it works. Usually you begin to get more coming. Father, we just ask you right now to activate your saints. Father, we ask you right now.